Welcome to the Africa Speaking Podcast. The podcast discusses critical issues about the African continent. It is brought to you by Teresa Communications in Nairobi.
The climate challenge demands bold solutions and finances. Welcome to the first part of our two-part series. I'm your host, Maslin Nyambala. We are delving into the financing landscape of climate change action. We are looking at the new businesses and pioneering entrepreneurs at the forefront of climate innovation with the support of Kenya Climate Innovation Center. Our guest today, Karibu Sana.
Thank you.
Perhaps you introduce yourself and tell us about yourself and the organization that you represent.
Yeah, so thank you, Marceline, and also good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all the listeners from where you are. You know, my name is Ernest Chitechi, and I work with Kenya Climate Innovation Center as the head of corporate services. Kenya Climate Innovation Center is a leading incubator and accelerator in Africa, working with small and medium enterprises as the frontline soldiers who are helping us combat matters climate change. And also climate action. So it's a pleasure being with you today, and I hope you will enjoy our conversation. Thank you.
All right. Perhaps you tell us how long has the organization been? What is the vision? You're saying it's an incubator,
yes,
as well as an accelerator.
Exactly.
Yeah, so Kenya Climate Innovation Center started way back in 2012, September. But the discussions started much earlier, around 2010, when there was this meeting for the parties of conference, and there was a lot of discussion around 2010 on how countries could cope with climate change. So the World Bank took up the initiative around that time, developed a proposal, and this proposal was then floated to various donors. So the donors then who picked it, then UKAID and the DANIDA, which is the Danish Agency for International Development, then gave the World Bank some money, and they were told they should pilot the idea of climate innovation centers, but the first one should be in Kenya. So Kenya Climate Innovation Center was the first of the climate innovation center networks that then were established by the World Bank. So currently there are a number of other climate innovation center. For example, in Africa, we have one in South Africa, we have another one in Ghana, we have one in Nigeria, and we have another one in Tunisia. There was one in Ethiopia, but it didn't do well, so that one closed. But out of Africa, we also have two other climate innovation centers in Vietnam and also in the Caribbean. So for us, our vision is around sustainable enterprises and climate resilient communities. And we do this by catalyzing climate entrepreneurship, because we believe that any initiative that is driven by private sector and looks at business becomes more sustainable rather than just looking at grants and donor initiatives, because in the long run, if the donor is not there, then it does not become very, very, very sustainable. So how we then catalyze climate entrepreneurship, we identify small and medium enterprises who are then developing climate smart solutions. And these solutions must prove to show the benefit to the environment. So they could be either in renewable energy, they could be in agriculture, they could be in water, waste management, or commercial forestry. So that's how we identify them. Then we work with them for a period of 12 months. For those who are really at early stage and have just come up with an idea which needs to be taken through a proof of concept. So we take them through our incubation program, where we support them to develop their business plan, do their marketing plan, help them become investor ready, so that by the time they're graduating, they can have some other investors putting in money. Then we also work with them to provide some level of funding. So within KCSE, we have like three levels of funding. So we have a proof of concept for ideas that are really at early stage and they need to be tested and be taken to market. Then we have early stage financing for those who have just commercialized. Then result-based financing for them who are not to achieve particular milestone. Mm-hmm. And then we have a subsidiary called Kenya Climate Ventures that then provide growth capital. So most of our program, we ensure that we provide them with the necessary funding for them to commercialize their idea. Then our bigger component is around business advisory, and this is where then now we do capacity building and the other things I mentioned about business plans. We attach them to a mentor and a coach who will work with them for a period of about 12 months. We also conduct research and package information that then we disseminate to these enterprises and the larger ecosystem within our environment. We also work closely with other partners on matters of policy, where then we engage government. Because what you realize, Marceline, that innovations are actually ahead of policy. So you find majority of the innovations that we come across us don't have either policy supporting them. There are no standards that need to be looked at for you to move that product to the market. Yeah. So we then work a lot with government to ensure that necessary regulatory frameworks are actually in place. Then finally, because they're also really at early stage, they may not have a lot of resources. So we provide them with access to facility. This includes co-working areas where within our offices, we've created spaces where they could operate from as an office. Then if they need like laboratory services where they can do their product design, product testing, prototyping, then we are able to link them with some of our partners who support us through that. So in a nutshell, that's how we operate. So currently we have established 8 hubs across Kenya. And these hubs are actually based on the old provincial mapping that Kenya used to have, so that at least we are able to support all enterprises across the country. So
what used to be the provinces, the eight provinces of Kenya?
Okay. Exactly. So you find for the former coast, we have an office in Kilifi based at Mtwapa. We have an office then in Machakos. Looking at the eastern, we have an office in this in Meru that covers the central. We have an office in Solo looking at the northern frontier. Then we have an office in Eldoret, Uasin Gishu, looking at the Rift Valley. Then we have Kisii that takes care of the Nyanza area. Then we have one in Bungoma that then takes care of the Western. So we with that setting in mind.
Then Nairobi.
Yeah, then Nairobi now that like looks the at the eight, all of them.
All right.
Yeah.
Now take us a little bit back.
Yes.
And just outline which sectors.
Yeah.
In terms of climate, which businesses are you supporting?
In terms of businesses, one, they must be in the 5 sectors that I mentioned. Anyone in renewable, and renewable could be anyone in solar, could be biomass, could be wind. Anyone within the renewable sector will actually support you, so long as you're able to show the supply of renewable energy, either to communities or businesses. Then for water, we are looking at innovations that enable access to clean and safe water, both for domestic use and also for commercial purposes. So commercial could be you're supplying to industries, you're supplying it for agriculture. So that way then we are able then to support you. Then looking at waste management, we are looking at enterprises then that are promoting mainly a circular economy. Because I think before we've been used to this linear economy where you take, use and dispose. But then now under the waste management, we are trying to see how do we then use our resources efficiently? Can we be designing products that in a way going to be used much later? Mm. Are we able to now recycle some of the waste that come from different products that we've produced? Can we reduce waste? Mm-hmm. So that way, then we are giving a longer shelf life mm-hmm. to some of the resources that we do have, and also reduce environmental degradation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we do around waste management. Then commercial forestry is one of the big area, because we know even the government has set a 10% tree cover.
Mm.
And we can only achieve this if then we are sustainably using our forest resources. Because we know as a country, we are still an agricultural economy, and most of our resources are still nature-based resources. So promoting adequate forest cover, sustainably using those forests to ensure that we still support government around achieving the 10% tree cover. Then for agriculture, is mainly around increasing productivity, because as a country, our population is growing. We need to feed this particular population, but our land mass has remained the same. So how do we innovatively increase our productivity within agriculture? How do we do value addition to reduce post-harvest losses so that then more farmers have more resources within themselves and ensure that there's also economic development? And in terms of the number, so far around 3,000 of such enterprises have passed through the center in the past 13 years that mm-hmm. we've been in operation.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are one of those few incubators where our commercialization is quite high. So we realize almost 67% of the 3,500 mm-hmm. are actually enterprises that you'll see if you walk outside there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So now looking at some of these sectors, I'm looking at them and they are very, very critical to this country.
Yes.
If you're looking at water, Kenya is water scarce.
Yes.
Nairobi, most estates are rationing. If you look at waste management, we have a challenge with the Dandora in Nairobi and many other counties.
Exactly.
Food, we are importing.
Yes.
Our forest cover, we are trying to do the 15 billion.
Yes.
Energy
is
expensive.
Yes.
So what would you say about the magnitude of the problem and also the opportunities that are in all these sectors?
In terms of the magnitude of the problem, actually when we were picking the sectors that you've just mentioned, and which I also mentioned that we focus on, we had done a survey, and we were mapping out what are the critical sectors that are actually more impacted by matter climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And we zeroed in on this particular five, because you realize if you're just looking, there are many other sectors, but these five are quite critical for this country.
Yes.
If we are to achieve our Vision 2030 as envisioned by government.
Mm.
So the problem then that we are looking at, for example, if it is on energy, it's energy access. Can people then actually access the energy they need for their daily use? Whether it is a household, they may need energy for lighting, and they may need also energy for heating that is affordable to them.
Yeah.
So that's where the problem is, because you'll find majority of the Kenyan population live in the rural areas.
Yeah.
And in as much as the grid could be near, not all of them are actually connected to the to the grid.
Mm.
So you find that majority either are using kerosene for lighting and cooking.
Yeah.
Majority of them actually are using biomass for cooking, and that then now depletes our forest.
Yeah.
Other than just depleting our forests and impacting also on our environment, the use of biomass also enhances indoor pollution. And this also impacts on their health. You find a few of them have respiratory disease issues, have eye problems.
Yeah.
And that's why then we are also trying to promote now the use of renewable and clean cooking, particularly for the rural community.
Mm.
So when you're looking at it, so those are the lenses where we are looking at. Mm-hmm. And we are telling them there's a lot of resources within the country. Kenya is very lucky. We have almost 9 hours of solar every day. So as an organization, we are also promoting solar because it's available in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
We are promoting, for example, use of biogas for cooking and lighting. And you see, if anyone within the rural community has about 2 cows, actually they're able to generate enough biogas that will that can sustain a household. We also now trying to see what other biomass can we look at. So can we promote biofuel for industrial use to reduce pollution? So when it comes to water issues, we know we also as a country almost half of the country is actually classified as arid and semi-arid area. So water becomes a challenge, a lot of conflicts are there between communities when they're trying to access water. Human wildlife conflict is also there when they're trying to access this water. So the solutions that to the problem so is how do we ensure that there's actually enough water? So we are encouraging for example, the runoff harvesting for areas where you can actually do a dam liner and you harvest your water through the runoff, and that water can then be used for agriculture, among others. And there are even areas where even if the water is there, but you realize it's not fit for human and consumption. So can we do purification? Can we do filtration to ensure that this water then is readily available? In addition to that, then we're also promoting efficient technologies that uses water, particularly for agriculture. So drip irrigation is one example that that we're also trying to promote. So on the matter waste, the problem actually is quite big because majority of the population have not embraced this matter around recycling and circular economy. So if I take a good case, maybe even if I ask you in your own household, how many dustbin do you have?
So far, I still have one.
You only have one. So once you've consumed any leftover food, your peelings, cutting from vegetable, they all go into dustbin. Then you have some papers, maybe your child is from school, a book is spoiled or something, you went shopping, they wrapped for you, it also ends up there. You went, bought a bottle of water, you've drunk, it's finished, it ends in that one dustbin. Then what happens? Someone will take it in a paper bag, take it somewhere, someone picks it and takes it to Dandora. So you see, that waste is already mixed. So now when it comes to recycling, becomes a big challenge. And that's why we're saying, can we encourage even proper waste management at source, where we can start doing waste segregation? Because we realize in Kenya, actually, our biggest waste is organic, even from households. So if it's segregated, you'll find there are guys now who want that waste to do organic fertilizer and other things. But if it's all mixed up, then it becomes very difficult for us to do.
How many dustbins should one have?
With the new regulations, they're trying to encourage segregation of waste at source. At least two would be good.
Two?
At least two would be good. But if you can, maybe have three. So that then you have for organic, inorganic, and others.
Yeah.
So that waste is segregated and then can be used. On commercial forestry, I think you've highlighted, we've all encroached on our forests. We are actually destroying our water towers.
Mm.
So we need to support practices that encourage reforestation, like agronomy farming, sustainable harvesting of our forest, among others, so that then we don't have all these issues. Because you see, our forest is like your lung.
Yeah.
So as we breathe out carbon dioxide,
yeah,
then the trees absorb it and they give us fresh oxygen. So we still need our forest, particularly for that matter. On agriculture, I think the bigger problem is now on overuse of, for example, chemical fertilizers, and then also the issues around pest resistance, among others. So we need now to look at ways, how do we, on a small area, still produce enough without necessarily impacting on the environment. And as we know, also with climate change, our rains have become very unpredictable. So what we've then done is look at what are some of the solutions. For areas where there's no much water, we are looking at doing smart agriculture, whether you can do drip irrigation, sprinklers, and all that. We're also seeing a lot of innovation around early maturing seeds, so that when you plant, it doesn't have to take 6 months, but maybe they'll mature early in 3 months. There are also those who are developing pest resistant varieties that then are able to resist particular pests. And this way, we are able then to solve our agriculture. Then also a lot of emphasis is going to value addition. Because it's one thing, like just this month and last month, we had a lot of mangoes on the market.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if anyone went to a market in Ukambani area, you'd have seen a lot of waste. So why not maybe do some value addition, convert those mangoes into pulp and have them stored somewhere and they can be used later on. There's a lot of actually opportunities in all this. We are telling for example, the enterprises that we are working, there's opportunity in agriculture. You can do value addition, provide a solution around water, and there is a lot of opportunities in all of them.
Maybe you can tell us so far what you have achieved over the decade. It's over 10 years.
Yeah, over 10 years. Yes.
What are you seeing? What are the trends? What are the achievements?
So far, as I mentioned, we've worked with close to 3,500 enterprises in the last 13 or so years. Within those years, we've been able to create over 57,000 green jobs. And when we're talking about green jobs, these are actually jobs that didn't exist, but were created as a result of the enterprises that we have supported. And we just don't look at it as a job, but we are calling it a decent job.
You say 57,000 decent jobs.
Yes, decent jobs created. And decent jobs here, we are looking in terms of better working condition, good paying, good pay. And this is a full-time job.
What are some of those jobs?
They vary. There are those who are doing value addition. There are those then who are doing product development. There are those who are in the sales department, providing technical support. So they vary based on enterprise by enterprise. So we don't create the jobs ourselves, but we believe that by supporting these enterprises, then they'll go to communities, scale their businesses, create jobs. Then with that, then they're able now to increase household incomes and now then achieve economic growth. So we've also been able to mitigate over 500,000 metric tons of CO2. Based on some of the solutions that our enterprises are selling in the market.
500,000
tons.
Okay.
Of CO2. We're also looking at these enterprises having reached over 700,000 customers who are now using smart solutions that that we have developed. Looking in terms of revenues they've generated so far for the last over 10 years, we are looking at about $83 million in terms of revenues. So which is quite substantial. So those are just some of the metrics that we keep tracking. And then in terms of policy, we've worked with government on over 70,000 policy initiatives. That just shows the level of our involvement within the ecosystem.
Supposing somebody wants to join or be considered to work with the organization, just take us through the step. You know, how do they qualify? Do they have to pay something? What is free? What is charged?
For anyone to join, normally we have different programs that target different audiences. So if I can just give an example, like currently we have the Agribiz program. The Agribiz program was funded by the European Union and the Danish government through Danida. And this program was targeting youth and women in agriculture. So for you to qualify, then you have to be a woman first or a youth, and you must be in agriculture. So then normally what we do a call for application. So we want to reach as many people as possible. So we put out this call on our website, we promote it through social media, we promote them through mainstream media. We do community outreach where we reach out to various stakeholders within the community to just tell them this call is actually open. And then from there, we are able then now to receive the applications. And now from the application, we sieve to see who is the most viable. From there, then if you are selected, we provide you with a letter of engagement that then outlines what we'll provide to you, what are you expect, what are our obligation, what are your obligation. So we support you for 12 months through the incubation and another 12 months through acceleration depending on where we are. So currently, we are not charging for our services. All our services are free because we are using public money through donor funding. So we provide those services currently for free. Like now, we have an open call for one of our program called SWIFT, which is a sustainable waste innovation for future transition. And this is looking at enterprises who are in waste management. So anyone listening to me and you would want to join that particular program, you can actually visit our website and be able to apply to join that particular program. We'll be opening up other program calls actually this month. Like we recently, we just launched the Dream Hub project, which is looking at the distributed renewable energy model. And this will be targeting enterprises who are promoting productive use of solar in agriculture. So we'll also be doing a call for that. We have other programs like the Greenbiz program that is also running. We have the productive use of solar program and other small programs that we run. So, but all of them, we do a call for application, vet, then we join to.
So they are call oriented.
Yes, they are call oriented.
You keep calling. So there's no that I'm coming to become a member and I wait.
No.
So you just watch out from the website from time to time.
Exactly.
So you're saying after they come, they're there for a year or two?
Yeah, so depending on where you are, if you're really at early stage, you'll join at incubation and we support you for 12 months. And then once we graduate you then again to the accelerator program, you'll be with us for another 12 months. So in about 24 months, we believe you should be ready to stand on your own.
24 months?
Yes.
And the financing is a loan.
We have grants, which then we provide particularly for proof of concept. Mm. And these are for enterprises that are really at early stage. So this is money we give you and we don't expect it back. But our hope is that you can actually go out, design a product, test it in the market and be able to start selling. So once you've done that and now you need maybe to purchase equipment or you are looking for some working capital, that's why then we give you early stage financing. Mm-hmm. And early stage financing is a repayable grant. Okay. So it doesn't have interest, but you'll pay it back so that then we can give it to another deserving entrepreneur.
Okay.
Then we have now the resort-based funding. This is money we also give. Now this has a small interest, like around 6%. So you'll also repay it back, but at a very low interest rate. And we give you like 9 months grace period before we start asking you to pay.
6%.
Yes.
What amounts are they? Like the one you're saying, the... Yeah. Proof of concept financing?
So in terms of proof of concept, the amount range between $10,000 to $50,000.
Okay.
Then for early stage, they are between 15,000 to also around $50,000. US dollars. Then for the loans, they are much higher, between 50,000 to 100,000.
The quest for funding innovation continues. That was part one with Ernest Chitechi. Join me, Maslin Nyambala, for the second and final episode as we map out more pathways to financial support.
Thank you for listening to the Africa Speaking Podcast. Join us in our next episode brought to you by Twiza Communications in partnership with Forum Sieve. For any comments and views, you can reach us through our website, www.africaspeaking.org. You can also reach us on Facebook, Twiza Communications, or on our X handle, @TwizaComs. You can also write to us on email, info@africaspeaking.org.